And we don't need to be injected with something to try to keep us healthy. I mean, that to me is just absolutely the biggest, I don't know, ruse, I guess, in terms of how we can think that injecting our bodies with dead viruses, pieces of bacteria, toxic chemicals repeatedly, you know, now under the umbrella of keeping us healthy. I mean, what does that really mean? I mean, and now what we started to talk about before the break was about the fact that it isn't just the individual vaccines, it's the sheer numbers of vaccines that kids are now subjected to. When we were growing up, as recently as 1985, the number of total vaccine antigens that were injected, for example, the measles, mumps, rubella, the MMR vaccine, mm-hmm. that's three vaccines with one shot. The DPT vaccine, diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, that's three vaccines, one shot. So as recently as 1985, kids would receive 18 vaccines or 18 shots by the time, or 18 antigens by the time they were 6 months of age, and 33 by the time they started kindergarten.
How can the body even process that?
Well, now listen to this. Now, today, in 2005, if kids get all of the vaccines that are required and recommended, they will have 51 antigens in 15 shots by the time they're 6 months of age, and up to 95 vaccines in 29 shots by the time they start kindergarten.
What's the downside then? If kids are getting all these vaccines, if there are problems, what could happen?
Well, I have a lot of documentation that shows the connection. The documentation comes right directly out of the conventional medical literature that shows the connection between allergies, asthma, eczema, ADD and ADHD. There are immune disruptors that look like they are causing a lot of different allergies that may be leading towards autism. The SV40 connection, simian virus 40, which is a cytomegalovirus that has been shown to be a contaminant in the oral polio vaccine, has been connected to bone cancers, lymphomas, leukemias, and mesotheliomas, which is a really severe type of cancer in the lung tissue. When you talk to parents nowadays, and I do a lot of speaking to very large groups of mixed people, what I mean, professionals and lay people. Mm-hmm. And when I talk to, and I'll say, how many people in here are, say, 40 years old and over? And usually it's more than half. And I'll say, how many of you, when you were in grade school, had somebody in your class that was on a medication? And most people can't think of any, or maybe one.
Or we didn't know about it, no.
And then I'll say, now how many of you are teachers, and how many of you have kids in your class now that are on three or four or five drugs? And most of them raise their hands and say yes. What has happened in one generation between when you and I were in school and the next generation down? I mean, the kids that are growing up now, I mean, the next generation, the kids that were in their 20s, they had more illness. When you look down in the kids now that are in grade school, you can barely talk to a parent anymore that doesn't have an ill child. Now, that can't be genetic.
No, I don't think it's genetic. Could it be environmental?
Well, what I always say that everybody's illness is like a pie diagram, and each one of those little segments of a pie diagram can be a variety of things. Yes, a piece of it can be, in some instances, genetics. Some is going to be environmental. Some is going to be the trans fats from the, you know, McDonald's and deep-fried french fries. Some is going to be exposures to organophosphates and pesticides and all those things in the environment. And a sector of that is going to be vaccines, because you don't have very many unvaccinated kids. And in depending on the person, each one, it will vary the size of that pie diagram. Now, where there's a universe, but where it all starts, in my opinion, is that it's starting in 1991 up through about 95 and 96, we started doing universal vaccination of the hepatitis B vaccine of children at birth. Within the first 24 to 48 hours before they even left the hospital, we were injecting them with a vaccine to prevent them from an illness that is caused by IV drugs, prostitution, and in adults. and we started giving them this vaccine at birth. And you can actually see on the chart, that's where, starting in 1991 with the new HIV vaccine and the hepatitis B vaccine, where the illnesses started going up exponentially. It's where autism started going up. So the background of breaking down these children's immune systems started at birth with the hepatitis B, and then at 2, 4, and 6 months, we give them the DPT, we give them HIB, we give them polio, we give them Prevnar, and we do that at 2, 4, and 6 months. And each time they do that, now one of the side effects of each one of those vaccines is they can get ear infections. Then as they start getting ear infections, we start giving them antibiotics. The antibiotics disrupt the immune system in the lining inside of their gut. So now when they get the MMR and the chickenpox vaccine at a year of age, they are already set up to be having all sorts of immune system disruptions that we're seeing in rampantly across, in kids across the country. The Institute of Medicine keeps claiming that there is no connection between the MMR vaccine and autism. There's no connection between thimerosal, which is mercury, in the vaccines and autism. But every single one of the studies that they have put forth have been demonstrated unequivocally to be flawed and to have conflicts of interest just peppered throughout them.